pieces. Oh my God.
You just have to make sure that how you speak publicly just is not open to the same kind of gobbledygook. Right.
But they took it directly from Esna, so that's very unfold. Anyway, sorry.
We're just having a private conversation.
No.
I'm back.
Okay.
Let's just check this one keeps going when that's...
So there's a number of things we have to talk about, yeah.
Yeah, there's loads, I think, and I don't think we'll get through them all today.
Well, start with the most important then.
The film is quite really important, and it's tied into storage and retrieval of information and analysis of that information. So the context of that is, went to this meeting, I'd been thinking...
You told me about that, that's fun.
So I'd been thinking maybe film was not such a bad idea, but I hadn't really got any way to know about it, how to do it, but then went to this meeting and we've got to spend 5% of the on into project stuff, and it's really hard. We can reallocate the resource in this direction, that's not a problem, because it was just written as a travel budget in a conference, which... we can reallocate to film. So we've probably got about £60,000 or £70,000 we can reallocate to film. And then the other, I've got buy-in from about 10K from each of the other projects. So we can definitely see about 100K to put onto film.
Do you know from them how much it's going to cost?
100K sounds like, in terms of what the email that he's written, in terms of the different project things, that doesn't sound too much of a mismatch. It'll probably cost a little bit more. And I suspect... Well, so there were two goals of it. One was to record stuff, and one was then to... The thing that sparked the inter-project interest was actually building something which could communicate with certain target groups, and that's why it ended up being... But that isn't... That, talking to school kids, can capture much more money because we can do it all under widening participation. Mm. The university's got to burn £9 million a year on that. So getting extra funds in to help... do that is not going to be too difficult, I don't think.
Yeah, but what I was trying to get across, it's a very different project to do that. I mean, we really do need the filming of us, I think.
Yes.
And, I mean, this was one of the comments from the reviewers about the discipline hopping thing that I'm doing at the same time. There'd be a huge amount of interest from kind of what's called history of science field.
Yes.
On analysing how this kind of work takes place, and you can't actually do that at the same time as doing it.
No, well, so the inter-project group also identified that ethnography of the process would be really important, and it was proposed also to possibly tie that in with the filmmaking. Now, I've kind of done that implicitly and said, because actually from our benefit of that, what's the best way we can get our hands on that inter-project money is to actually do filmmaking and ethnography at the same time.
And
then think about how to use the material we capture in terms of dissemination afterwards.
Well, I think this is classic kind of visual ethnography, which is a kind of subfield of...
Yeah.
Right? So you'd hire the whoever to do the filmmaking. They actually should be charged to produce a film.
Right.
So at the end of award thing that is this weekend, we have a film called Unravel being screened, which has kind of accompanied some of the textiles work that we've been doing. So what I would propose to the filmmaker is that they actually make a film short of this whole process at the end of it, which is a professional film. It's not about us doing it.
No, and I think that was one of the themes of work that they were proposing was that there would be professional material and it would be about the project.
Mm.
And actually it may well be that we need to create one of these for each of the four projects.
Mm. I think that would be a good idea to suggest, So you could have a session...
But then you need to think carefully about the audience of that film.
That would be public-facing, but not necessarily kids. Its own...
But if you hit 16 to 21 isn't kids, that's...
No, but this see... Part of the issue will be about telling this as a meaningful story to a wider audience than academics.
Yeah.
Like, this is about a collaboration that is about interdisciplinary working.
And it's from my point of view, it's about the fact that science isn't just what's thought of as science. It's a much bigger subject than that.
But one thing we have to watch is when a professional film is made, we have no control over the message.
We participate in it,
but we do not. You know, part of our task is to immerse the filmmakers in our thinking, so that it's not about a kind of expose kind of film, right? So the main interest, as I see it at the moment, is going to be in interdisciplinary cross social science project, and primarily probably academic, because to make a film, you actually have to have a story as a hook.
Yes, of course.
Right? So you have to act, you know, you'd have to have people that mattered, and I kind of in this unravel thing, are you going to this thing? Yeah. There, it's basically, it's a woman's life is the centrepiece for hanging a story around what happens to clothing around. We actually, at the moment, haven't got this unless it becomes about devices in people's houses or it becomes about particular families.
Well, we don't know what the story
is. We
don't
know, exactly.
And that's exactly what Ravi was catching on to.
We don't know it and we can't shape it. So he will find the story as the filmmaker. That's what a filmmaker does, like a journalist, right? We can help shape that, but we won't totally own it. He'll produce. We've got to say, well, is it 10 minutes short?
Well, which is why when we start to talk about filming as an ethnography, we said if we incorporate like people's lab diaries as an undertone, then we can start to build a chronology of the material from the real material itself, and that then becomes a useful way to organise the material. And then he's hoping that actually there's two outcomes. He'll be able to then use the material that we make ourselves in his professional productions, and also if we allow that material as open access through the web, then he may well find other people using that material without having been too organised from the start. So there's a number of different outputs. So I think what we're talking about was concentrating on the creation of material by ourselves and supplemented by him, and then going to a phase two, which would be the creation of films from that, some of which would be public facing, some maybe school kid oriented, and some which would be internally oriented.
Where's he intending to show this film?
So we've not spoken about the specifics of the output of the film yet.
I think that's quite important to get on the table.
Right from the beginning.
Get it on the table, and
certainly on the inter-project conversations, they rather hastily arrived at this kind of school kid 16 to 21 promote non-traditional science. And that's where we're going to be able to capture another £500,000 through widening participation.
Yes, but I think that it would require different shooting for some of that. Maybe some's crossover.
If you can target 16 to 21, haven't you engaged an academic audience anyway?
I think you have to know why you're doing it. I mean, there's loads and loads of audiences, but that's kind of what I was getting.
Right.
Why, you know, and it quite often is the case that this becomes like lowest common denominator because everyone can agree on this being a good thing.
I agree, I think.
So for when I've done this school's work in the past, there was a huge issue about, I don't think there will be the case necessarily around this, but you have to get it situated within a curriculum. And therefore you have to get teacher buy-in to what you're trying to achieve with this.
Yeah.
And then
otherwise
they just say, what's in this for us? You know, we're just, we're just ticking
the box.
Why should we bother doing this? So basically, I mean, I have got good contacts with one school, which was High Stores in the end. I mean, I went around a number of these, having an open discussion with people, asked them to a meeting, in fact. So it was King Edward's, High Stores and Notre Dame, of whom
Hardly bottom of the pyramid.
No, but they went to everyone. Those were the schools that turned up, right?
Course,
so it did a whole lot through the GA. All that and Barnsley, you know what. Three schools pitched up to the meeting. And it came down very quickly, that's what's in that paper, to one school that bought into the project. And it, of course, you're dealing with privilege. Well, they're not so... High Stores isn't like King Ted's,
it's,
right?
It's reasonably mixed.
It's quite mixed. But it's still top-performing school. But
it's not
the top of the Sheffield tree by any means. It's not silver... What's it called?
Silverdale.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So basically, that's what you get, but you have to do it this way. And they're the ones who see the opportunity for their kids... of engaging
and they've got
business,
the time
right?
and resource
they've got the time
too.
And the resource to buy into it. So if we want to go widening participation, it's a massive long haul, right, with working with Barnsley. Otherwise, these are the schools that will pitch up.
It doesn't still need to be completely aligned with the original motivation of the project. The widening participation could be... Well, no, it would be actually aligned. But there are programmes that we can hop onto and get support from.
Well, it would be great if we actually had the districts within which we're doing the work, the schools.
Yeah, that would be really nice. And maybe there'll be some links that we form that can enable that to happen.
Yeah. That way, that really likes to happen. But
and it may not be, film might not be the right thing to use it at that point.
Well, film, kids are quite happy or interested about that, you know, so, but then you'd have to get, I mean, there's a lot of film work went on in relation to the project I did, photography, you just have to get the teachers to sign it all off with the parents and all that.
Yeah,
it's not,
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
actually that difficult to get.
No, certainly we've touched on that already. You basically have to have a pocket load of consent forms wherever you go.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think... Well, we'll talk to Ravi tomorrow, but to start with, we were talking about setting up training sessions so that we can then efficiently document material as we go along.
Yeah,
in this
there's a different kind of role, which is us documenting, but the professional end of it, and also, I would say, we are not necessarily the best analysts of what is going on.
No, I realise that.
You know,
well.
And it's actually very important.
And we need to bring someone else.
Which is why I wondered, you know, like Helen could do this.
Hmm.
She. You need a social scientist skilled in this.
Well,
way.
We spoke about that as well at the interproject meeting, and that the recording the process is really key for all of the apart from one project.
Really
Lucy Yardley was saying, "Well, we've done that before; it didn't really work. Not interested." But she was a little bit. I think their project's actually it's not traditional, but it's not as wacky as the other one.
Mm.
Wacky is not the right word,
but
it's
experimental.
Experimental, exactly. She actually knows quite. She knows the market. She's got a. Essentially, she's making a. Healthcare intervention tool, and she knows it's she knows what she's doing. But the other projects, the people on them are more like.
Well,
happy
I
to
know that the commissioning
well.
Panel, because Phil was on that, and he subsequently talked to us about this kind of thing, and this would be exactly the sort of thing they'd like to see.
Yeah.
So I think we should be absolutely engaging,
so
and I find it extremely valuable.
Mm.
Well, I was going to set up.
Okay,
so
like this anyway. So
we train everyone in the people who are going to engage within the project how to record what they're doing using film and audio. We find a way to archive that material, organise it. We put the resource into organising it properly. Maybe that includes a bit of editing, and then we.
That's a huge job.
I know it's a huge job, and we need to resources, which is why we need to basically find another full-time post from somewhere.
Yeah, it is true. You cannot begin to imagine.
No, I realise.
Then you made an important point there, that one of the best in the essay email, that one of the main contributions that Ravi was talking about was bringing in an external web page for the management of the data.
Yeah, you said, is that going to run out?
When the grant runs out and we have no more money to pay.
No, we
what
won't.
Happens.
This is a real problem. I mean, there are problems with that. There's also problems with the filmmaking, as I've kind of we worked along with Waste the World on it. Initially, it funded the filmmaker and assembling of materials. There's then a second phase of funding that they need, which is actually studio time to edit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
They need to be absolutely clear that that's included as part of the project.
Yeah, no, that it,
right?
It was so
and
far.
Then there's another.
So how much did you pay? What was the budget?
Oh, this was an early filmmaker. So she got. We had a spin-off grant of about $10,000 from the British Academy, and then we I gave her $5,000 funding from within the grant envelope to develop, and she probably had another $5,000. So you're probably told, and then the problem is distribution, which I hadn't got a budget for. It was, well, okay, you want a film career.
Well, okay, so the advice that we've had is that if we record footage ourselves, it's far more likely to get taken up by like Channel 4 or somebody and turned into something, which is why, the other reason why, making sure we record stuff so that it is available later on in the process seems like the priority, and it's totally justifiable to go ahead and do that across the four grants essentially. Set up training, kit people out, and just make sure we start to record stuff, and then put in place how we're going to archive it and organise it, and then finally decide the audiences and produce it, and it, then we need to supplement with professional footage, but that can be done at a later date anyway, because they're not. They can see what the process has been and then maybe twist it. I guess they're going to have to twist it. They're going to end up twisting it.
If they do it, if down the line the aim is a programme, say BBC 4, there's no way that they will do anything other than re-record. They won't use our footage.
That's not so...
Well, absolutely no way.
So there have been two contacts. One guy... both of them work with Channel 4 and BBC, and they both said that if it's good recorded footage,
But ours is never good enough.
Well, let's see what Ravi says in terms of how to do this and what kit we need to do it. Because if we can make it good enough, then it's going to be valuable. And it may be that there is quite an initial outlay on the capital equipment, but we'll have to suck that and see.
Well, what this is about is basically controlling professional turf. You know, this is the same kind of thing as saying, well, Joe Bloggs can be a reporter on a big daily because they've actually were at the event and they've blogged this or whatever.
No, but that would be just us making the material, not making the story, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So just the actual
don't make the story. We give up.
Stuff.
We hand more material over, which they can incorporate.
All the material would be up there on the web. And it would be we'd make sure it gets organised as we go along in such a way that it can be looked back on properly.
So you mentioned face recognition software and keyword use.
These sorts of things, I think that sounds quite advanced, but possibly it's there. I'd like to see what software he's proposing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know about his thoughts. I mean, he's done quite a lot of work with Sheffield already. I mean, it may be that we can get something quite nice written into the contract where it is supported going forward.
What about setting up a kind of test event? I mean, just imagine this, us sitting around discussing.
Mm.
Get him to film to something, just see what results. And then what would you do with this kind of questioning?
I'm not sure, that's quite an isolated event.
Mm.
I'll think about that.
I think it needs to be a little
session.
Bit of a story.
Yeah.
It needs to be a bit of what Jose's doing.
So when's the next studio session?
Waiting for Prue to get back to us.
Mm-hmm. That should be definitely filmed.
Definitely.
Cool. By the way, is Jose coming to the meeting tomorrow?
Yeah.
Good. I felt very stupid afterwards that he didn't come to the first conference. I just felt really dumb that we didn't think of that.
Yeah. I get...
And basically, I mean, there's a whole slew of other things. I mean, are we all right about where we are with the film, though? Do you think you've... Do you feel you know what enough to get to a good place with him tomorrow?
I know it's a massive issue, and I know that we're potentially but consideration about how much money, how much commitment. But I think that the drivers, in terms of access of future funds, requirement to spend.
Mm.
That 70k on something, and actually that's not an insignificant amount of money, it's reasonable, but also the resource that isn't written into the project, which is to archive and look at the information and clever ways to fund that.
We could actually archive this. One thing to do is to go back to EPSRC and say this will result in a real body of film material, which if it was an ESRC project I would be looking to archive in what's called QualiData, which is the Qualitative Data Archive at Essex.
Right.
Mm.
Now, I don't know whether EPSRC has begun to engage with that or whether they would see the merit in cross-council activity here, but this stuff ought to be archived by RCUK, and we shouldn't be paying the cost of this.
So that actually ties in with... So what they've got is this thing called the National Computing Grid, which has been set up for Atlas and CERN for particle physics. But it's expended... It's basically UK academia in general, and we can all get access to this for free.
Mm.
We can get hundreds of gigabytes, even terabytes of storage on this grid network. It'll be automatically backed up. Using that for qualitative, well, I mean, it is already used for what they may call e-social science, so quantitative social science. Maybe we need to start saying, well, actually, qualitative social science could make use of this place as well. Maybe there's some sub-grant to make.
I'll definitely go back and say that to them.
I only just spoke to the guys about... I just go to speak to the guys who run the CERN stuff, and if they can't do it, then in terms of computing, no one can. So I'll maybe have a chat with them. There may be some... Maybe some route there.
I don't know what the practicalities of this are, but if we could use Ravi's software and EPSRC's storage space and combine the two.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't really matter where it's stored. It should that website is a front end for storage. I propose archiving on this grid facility anyway and then taking a subset of data onto Ravi's page. But if we can use Ravi's front end and our in the, and the grid storage, I mean, Ravi may well actually be quite familiar with this. It's probably an area that he's worked in before. But then we'll have, within the university, we'll have very, very fast access to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's designed for a massive amount of data.
Mm-hmm. That would be really great.
So I think so that...
Especially security of storage would be fantastic.
Yeah. So you could have it duplicated over 3 or 4 different sites across the UK.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's an archive source as well as a storage source. And
It's designed for storing and analysing massive data sets.
Is it accessible for other people?
Yeah, basically, the Qualidata archive was about depositing this kind of material for
secondary
anybody's use. It could be anything from class, school kids through to other academics. So basically, you can put stipulations on its use, criteria. Consent kind of issues,
mm-hmm.
but that's actually it's an archive in that sense of the word, rather
public.
Than interactive public domain.
I suspect that it does have that remit, even though it may be that a tool needs to be developed to allow that to happen, or the modification or customization of a tool.
Mm.
At the moment,
that would be really, really important thing to have, and we have to have it. Normally, it's from the outset, you have to make these stipulations rather.
I mean, I spoke to the guys and I said, if I want to publish data to a website, can I do that? And they said, yeah, we've got a tool that allows you to do that, which means that they've got some scripting language, 10 pages of code, which allows it to happen fundamentally. No, they haven't probably implemented it yet, but it's the sort of thing that you would write into a proposal director to say, we're going to use the grid to store and analyse and basically back disseminate this data on the science process.
Okay.
So basically what I would say is that the means by which the material is collected and organised for our storage also has to map into an archive storage grid, because otherwise you end up with a huge amount of work reorganising data.
There are known ways to...
Well, that's what I said. We need to...
Well, I think we'd take Ravi's advice on this film archiving method, because it sounded like he knew what he was talking about there. And it's something we can then contract to our film company. Contract the design, maybe, because they're experts in... If the main medium is film, then they should be able to advise and make that happen.
There's a BFI kind of code that's about all of this archiving as well. So if they are an independent filmmaker, they are quite used to that.
I'm sure they
are. That sort of stipulation. But it's what he may not be used to is filming for a publicly accessible research archive.
He did talk about that in the context of this website.
Right, okay. Right. But I think that's a primary thing that we would want out of it.
So, just to recap, what we're going to talk to Ravi about tomorrow is going to be about storage and the compatibility between the proposed software and a public storage facility. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I think his software was going to be publicly searchable. I think it would be public facing, so anyone could take the material and use it for whatever purpose, and then...
But would this be on his own website?
Well, we would own the website. It sounded like we could change... We would own the website, and we would muck with the content management system.
For how long will we own that?
No, we own it. I mean, I've bought...
And access is like...
It's ours. We administer
forever
it.
Forever and ever and ever, amen.
Yeah, we administer it. So
we buy the software from him and it becomes our webpage. Okay.
I think it was a third party, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's the same with...
So there is a third party involved.
Possibly.
In buying it. Yeah, because basically...
He's collaborating.
Yeah, this is the zone that everything ends up into problems, that they give us stuff by buying host domain space.
Oh, no, no, no.
There's none of that going on?
I'm not going to do that.
No, no.
I'm not buying someone else's domain. We're in a university.
Right.
We've got plenty of that stuff.
Yeah.
I want the front end. I don't want the domain. Mm. I'm not buying someone else's domain.
Mm.
Okay. So we've got that.
I mean, we can mount it on... this grid, we can mount it on cPanel. we can mount.
And he's okay about this, because I mean, when you end up with filmmakers, where you end up is they want the intellectual copyright of the film, and therefore you end up, they're the producer, they're the director, that's our film.
Well, that's the film, so, but that's not the material that goes into it. I mean, if we're producing the material ourselves...
But the thing that makes it sing is actually the film.
I think we need to be just careful in the
contract. We do, yeah, and therefore, yes, basically the film needs to be deposited. What is it? They just want to show whether it's stills of this or this is the only place you can get it is via a link from wherever we display stuff to their...
No, I don't think so, because the stuff he's done for the university is on our server. Stuff, yeah, we own it, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. You go to chef.ac.uk/energy and you view the film. It's not very good, but you view it on our server.
Yeah, well, I've seen some of that. The Green Roof one.
Terrible. Yeah. They're all terrible, but I think that's not his fault. I think that's our fault for saying it's the documentary style of academic research. It's just a terrible medium. Like, we stand up and tell you what our research is.
Well, is his... That's important to know in relation to his style of filmmaking.
So he's brought in this guy called Chris Riley, who's recently joined his company, who's, I think, far more progressive, and it's that level of progression that I want to...
What type of films are they?
Well, it's still science.
I think we'll...
And it may be that we want to start with someone else in a different place.
Yeah, yeah. You see, somebody who I think the document... This is just me speaking out loud, but my sense is that the documentary tradition is very strong in science.
We don't want to go there.
Yeah, and it's definitely kind of like a legacy, a horizon. You know, this is what we're talking about. This is not about...
No, I've told you right from the start, I don't want to go anywhere near a
documentary. This is like an anthropological filmmaking. So basically where you end up is narrative and story.
People, basically, isn't it? People. Well, that's what makes a film interesting.
Exactly. We don't want somebody standing on a bloody green roof and saying, well, the mineral substrata of this is 2 centimetres and this is 5 centimetres.
Well, no, but all the motivation from those films was to say how wonderful the University of Sheffield is.
I know it is. It's just blatantly obvious and it's crap footage. Streamed over a CMS site.
Just can't watch it. Well, I'm desperate.
We are not just showing them and saying, we do not want this.
No, I've already told them I'm absolutely with you. It needs to be, if it's got a hint of comedy in there, got a bit of something a bit wacky, if it's intriguing, it needs to be based around people. It needs to be about a story. And there's,
yeah.
I mean,
it could even be a story about a bloody panel or a device.
It doesn't matter what the story's about. Yeah. It could be about how shit the lab is.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be about doing the same thing.
The University of Sheffield is not going to like that.
But this is
our
rude.
Labs are shit, and look at these offices.
No, how shit it is working in the lab, but...
Yeah.
It's like...
They will latch onto us as people.
Yeah, we're discussing them.
Yeah, well, that's...
And there's some really interesting personalities.
Well, I don't need Dave Stone in
that. Dave Stone! Can you imagine? It's going to be Dave and Martin. With us lot.
Oh, my.
Well, I'm thinking there's probably interesting things.
What is Dave going to say about this? Has he bought into
it?
Has he bought into it?
I haven't told him. He doesn't need to buy into it. I'm just telling him that's what I'm doing.
Oh, you're a rocket man. Bring your tea with you. Dave has got to sign a consent form.
That's true.
He'll sign. I'll give him something else.
You've got to get used to social science research ethics, mate.
Okay. He'll be okay. I promise.
Dave is going to be a starring role in Britain's, I tell you.
Yeah, that's true. We've got.
He likes to talk. I know,
but the filmmaker's just gonna. Just imagine that filmmaker at that studio session when they've just started.
We used to get a film around his house, though.
Yeah, and it'll be the Dave Stoner story. He'll become a star.
I think
the grumpy
man up the north. Which one? They'd offer him his own documentary series. It'd be like that guy, there was that ridiculous thing on Airport. Somebody becomes the most unlikely star, it will be Dave.
Well, that's the sort of thing that I can see. It's, yeah, I think we're on the actual same,
we're on the same,
same sheet.
Yeah.
I don't know, I haven't got a clue how to do this, but I know that there are...
Look on, there's two places in anthropology and kind of sociology that do this kind of work well. One's UCL, visual anthropology, and the other is Goldsmiths, and they have actually training programs in all of this work. There'll be links to kind of the films that they've made.
Right. I do have a backup contact through Lancaster for some guy that one of the other guy with the people at Lancaster that we're most closely aligned to in the CDIP projects. He's mad keen on this, and he had a link to some guy that I need to spoke to him briefly. So that's the backup. And I definitely think I don't mind POing for some training of how to make footage ourselves, but I think I want to stage it quite carefully and definitely go to tender at the next point.
Have we got any? Can he show us any examples of stuff he's done outside of the University of Sheffield?
Yeah. No,
I think it's important to see some of them.
I've got some links to that stuff, but I haven't.
Yeah, with kind of a much looser rein on what the brief is.
Yeah.
What would he do? That's kind of what I want to see before going. Yeah. To
I think it's this Chris Riley guy that's going to actually do it, and it's him.
Is he coming to the meeting tomorrow?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's his background in? Do you know?
Filmmaking. I'll Google him again. I mean, they've all done some relatively.
Maybe you should come to this exhibition the weekend. I know you won't be able to. It's in London.
No. I didn't know there was stuff going on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get the 11 o'clock train back on Saturday. It was not there in the
Lucy's just like, I mean, it's supposed to be annoying there from start to finish, but we don't know. Can't you change it? No.
Sucks.
Yes, you can. You charge it to what I've leveraged out from the underspend. Change the ticket back. I'm going back on Saturday night. Because there's two sets of talks.
Yeah.
On the Saturday.
Yeah.
Which would be really, really good.
Okay.
But kind of it would be an opportunity to see this film and what can be done with this kind of event space around something.
Yeah.
That was a budget of, I don't know, 56k. The whole lot.
Okay, I'll change it.
Whereas I've got a space, it would be about 6,000 now sitting there, but we can absorb that.
I think he is quite documentary. He's done some high profile
stuff.
I think this is the issue,
Al, that science equals documentary equals Jim Al-Khalili or Brian Cox.
I can't watch Brian Cox.
You can't watch Brian Cox?
I can't watch it.
Why not?
Just can't watch it.
She
does my head in.
Why?
Don't know. Just, I can watch Jim
Al-Khalili.
I think he's quite watchable, but.
Brian Cox, rock star physicist.
Oh, this.
Things can only get better.
Things can only get better, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There's something about.
But basically, this is a huge, huge issue, and I would like to say now, we will not be on that terrain at all.
No.
You're not, clearly. So I would say, go to these websites and say, look at this. This is kind of what we understand by filmmaking.
Mm. Just because he's done this style in the past, it doesn't mean that.
No, he's probably quite. There would have been a brief out.
Yeah, no, that's the problem. I think a lot of the time,
yeah.
Space Odyssey, Voyage to the Planets. A lot of the stuff I think is to do with space, and which is good because it's so far removed from what we're actually proposing.
Right, next problem. Does this film crew go to Bangladesh?
If we pay them, they're going to go. But it's whether we can get.
Huge amount of extra money.
40 or 50k to get them there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's
film
the
crew.
But that would be
a key part of the project.
I think what the point is, if we can, 6 months down the line, to have shown to be good at documenting ourselves, to have a good stories from lab diaries and a way to integrate it together, we do a first pass at a film, we take it to Channel 4 or the BBC and say, look, this could be golden for you. Buy into this, work with us over the next phase of the project.
No, but the way it works is we have to get a presenter.
Not if it's
no,
reality style science.
No, they won't buy that.
You need a voiceover.
You need a front person, so then it becomes about the contacts of Ravi or whoever with into London media. That's how it works. Because this guy who's organising our stuff.
Well, this Chris Riley. Chris Riley clearly has got contacts. Hundreds of.
Yeah. It's basically how this whole industry works. It's totally London centric and a village.
Oh, they're both London guys, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But I just think that if we can show that we can produce interesting stuff, then we will be able to find the next.
Yeah, they would need to see the angle, and the problem is the domination of the two figures that we're talking about here in the marketplace. They, I mean, it's not too far to say that they equal science TV at the moment.
Yeah, but in a year's time, it'll be time for a change. They'll be looking for something fresh. It can only do one more series. Brian Cox is on his way out. It can't keep going, can it?
Well, Al-Khalili, I mean, he'll go to Heat or something like that next, won't he? It's
really shocking. He can go where he wants. You know. I don't think he's got the same market as... We're not talking about... I just think we need to demonstrate that film can be used as a media within the project, within the four projects, and then we can talk about the next stages.
Yeah, as I said, we need to be very clear about what we're using it for. I mean, as I say, for the purposes at the moment, we're talking about it as a history of science kind of interface.
Hmm.
And about a learning tool.
Well, no, that I think it's about real... It's about
then there's a film which is about a public and science understanding kind of issue. That's different.
So that's the overriding philosophical questions of the project, really.
That's different. That, but that's... I think there's a
because
number.
That could
there's
make quite a nice documentary-style film.
Yeah. But to actually switch it to reality-style TV is a massive leap.
Yeah, no, and I think there'll be elements of that, right?
It won't, you know, it's about making effectively, it's about making a lab in a university. It's been done, right? Okay, you've got, like, Big Brother formula, work to death, chuck people, you know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, you know, all of that kind of shit.
I'm an engineer.
Get me out of here.
Well, this is, maybe it's a one-off spoof.
Yeah. But basically, you know, yeah. But there's ones which have taken like airports, you know, and made a celebrity out of a guy, you know.
We'll get Peter Kay in the lab. That would be really funny, wouldn't it?
So it's kind of what does it, there we will get what the University of Sheffield's image of itself is problem.
Well, yeah, that's it.
There's going to be one monster problem. We show science walks. Yes, of course it. TUOS blending. What do you think? Oh, blending.
yeah.
The dot on everything.
Yes, it's ownership of everything. It's monstrous.
Well, there's a serious intellectual property issue in the fact that if we make all of our laboratory work publicly available at time of, we're making it. All of that's prior art. We can't patent a thing. No one else can patent anything, but we can't patent. We're actually breaking a contract with Fusion IP.
Yeah.
But I think I might ignore that for the moment. Well, there's no way to address it. Fusion will say no.
Jesus. Yeah, well, this is what will happen. The university will say no way this is going
to
happen.
Well, they don't need to necessarily know it's happening. I'll declare it to the ethics form, right? But the ethics form isn't going to flag it to Fusion.
No. Well, we wouldn't necessarily know about Fusion, so Anna will write the ethics.
Exactly. Document. No, I think
we just... Know, you know, we don't know about
it. I think it can be
hidden
under the carpet.
I first heard about Fusion. What's that? Once I encounter these guys.
That's just...
we'll stay in
No, hang on. It's actually... we just documented it.
I know we have. You basically... Well, you can... Yeah, there are things to say. We have to sign off. We can just eliminate it from the record. Sorry, but it's what happens. This is off the record. For the record.
That was off the record.
Yeah.
Now coming back on, I think
we're now on record.
I'm sure there'll be ways to work around that.
You're back on record now. Seriously, it is a major issue, and if one is filming a lab, I've not seen the lab, but there will be other people in the lab that this will potentially affect. You know, this is not like one lab with one project in it, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, but the filming would happen only during what we're talking about in terms of a solution for the lab place auto filming was a mounted camera that you just switch on when you're doing your stuff and you do all the
operation. That's okay then.
And then you switch it off.
And it's around the area where you're working, it's not...
Yeah, that could be fine. I don't think that's a problem in the lab. Okay. Lab cam, I think, could work quite straightforwardly, actually.
What about other people talking about other projects that would pick that up?
I think the sound quality is going to be quite an issue in there, and we'll probably end up having to wear mics, so that would solve that, actually. There's a lot of background noise, huge amount. So we'll have to wear pickup mics, and then.
I still keep thinking about auto recording of the social scientists, which is just how are we going to do that? I'm very tempted to just do a literature search on health, because I've seen a few articles about how that has been done.
I haven't in terms read of what have they done? Just put headset and mics on them?
Yeah, but no. But what do you do? Do you do like a, this is what I'm going to do today, and then at the end of the day, this is what I actually ended up doing today, and this is, these are the ideas that I thought about. Like, how do you
do a video diary?
Yeah, something like that. But this, then it's always.
But I kind of, I write it down. I don't actually articulate it orally, what I'm doing.
But then it's not filmmaking.
No, it's not filmmaking.
Well, not everything is film, right? That's for sure. Some things are not film. Some things are written documents, and making lab books, web-based lab books exist, and we could probably go with one of those, and that would provide a framework for the chronology of activities.
Yeah, but in the same way that we are capturing an evolution and change and potentially moments of breakthrough in the science lab, we need to be
doing the same in the social
lab.
But can you not just keep an electronic lab book, which could be a combination of audio and written stuff?
I just basically just write as we do a field diary. That's what becomes... I think that the field diary is almost the parallel to their lab books.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But if that became,
it's supposed to, in social science, then it would have to be also self-reflexive.
Well, but it is, but mine is. I just write in different fonts.
Well, yeah, we need to have a chat about that, because I'm not used to that. I've only started developing it during my field work, but this was pre-reading Bruno Latour. This is not actually a skill that I kind of have.
No, I mean, I just write, write what is going on, the discussions about, like this is recording, but also then in a different font, what I am overlaying that in terms of conceptual development, what is going on.
So after, basically throughout your working life, you've held...
No, it's every project, the projects that I work on, well, that involve me working ethnographically.
So we need to start doing that now, and yes. All of us.
But you've typed stuff up, you've done like four reports and then a reflection on what's going on within those.
Yeah, but that's different because it's
post-factum. That's minuted notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
sort of ongoing rationalisation.
Literally a lab book that has two columns?
You can do it like that. I just choose to write and then make the font distinction. You could have here's a set of, we are sitting here talking and this is what we're talking about. And then on the other side, this could be how are these people coming to understanding of what they're talking about. You know, that it's about how are they navigating the way through interdisciplinary working. What things seem to be coming out?
I mean, if you were to use a blog, you'd have two people. You'd have just two people in one brain, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Making the discussion.
It's a very different modality. It's like, there's kind of like... The fundamental question for an ethnographer is constantly, what the hell is going on here, right? The analytical question is making that into something that is strange, right? So troubling it all the time, undermining it, questioning it,
right.
Challenging it. And actually, that does go, well, from what I've seen in science, it actually does go on, but there is an awful lot that doesn't go in the lab book.
No.
And that is also important, I think, because
even
the lab book...
Even less that goes in the science paper,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. The lab book, right, you look at a lab book, and it's... You try and trace the decisions that are made in a lab book.
Oh,
no, exactly. And yet it should be, in terms of this university's good ethics guidelines... Those lab books are supposed to show the progression of your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
What they show is experiment A, experiment B, what went into it, a bit of results maybe, if you're lucky, and by day. And it's about the overall lab book is the stabilisation of the work, but it doesn't actually chart the progression of thought that underpins that. It records what was done, not why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I've seen three lab books now and I would absolutely
Absolutely true. But I think part of the question is the what in science, I think the word why doesn't really come into play a lot of the time. It's often the word how.
Yeah, but so would you like to have in terms of
No, that's not there either. But
what's there?
So in terms of inscription, would you like to see, whatever, 11 a.m. this didn't work. 11.05. Yeah. I went and had a chat with X over coffee, and he told me about this paper.
So it becomes like ethno-methodology, right? Which is what, you know, I picked my nose and had a, you know, went to the toilet kind of level of detail.
Yeah.
But actually, that's the old style of Mike Lynch, social studies of science, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's quite important to go back to some of those insights here, because I swear blind, we're missing huge amounts of it, precisely because of what we've just said here.
Yeah.
It's about what's in those books, not how or why.
Yeah.
And we need to know how, we were constantly asked of you guys, how or why questions, as well as the what's.
I would like to see your field notes.
You can see my field notes, no problem. Most people, the issue in social science is most people don't share their field notes.
No, I just like to see,
you
can give me field notes from your website.
No, I mean, I actually think, well, it's how I have evolved a method that works for me,
that's
you know.
But if all this stuff went straight onto an electronic version, if you just type straight in to the website, and we found a tool that was able to be reflective and recording at the same time, that there must be loads of options electronically, that we could do the same thing then from the lab side, from Jose's, could have a web-based lab book, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Adam, I suppose, although a little more peripheral to the CORDA project. But you could then, we could make sure that those things were just straight electronic and it would be there all the time.
But it becomes, I'm just keep thinking about the practicalities of it. So your whole life for a number of years becomes a field site in this research. So you get a massive data overload if you actually keep, not to mention that it's a huge amount of time that you spend doing what you're actually doing.
Well, I know. I mean, it's only if I'm working personally as an ethnographer that I'll do it. Okay? I have never done auto-ethnography. And I think this is part of the problem I face. I don't think, actually, it's very easy to do that.
Yeah.
And there are fundamental challenges in that, which is why I think that there is a sense that somebody else reading what we are doing and discussing that with us is important, the more I think about that.
Yes, but we still need that self-reflexibility.
We need, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And the scientists generally aren't self-reflexive about it. Is this kind of just what we do, you know?
Okay, I am very, very tempted to do, in the next few weeks maybe, a sort of, to read a little bit and do a mini presentation for the whole team on autoethnography and what that actually means, and how we're going to go about it, both social scientists and physical scientists, if we're going to be serious about the main, you know, bid of this research project, capturing science in action on both sides and capturing the interchange of ideas, we really need to start being self-reflexive a lot of the time. And nobody of us seems to have done that to such an extent before.
Well, I think most of the studies that are out there, right, on autoethnography are vulnerable, this is off the record, to the challenge of narcissism.
Yeah.
And they're usually about celebrating a particular life. There's an awful lot of sociology that went, Liz Stanley is the person who first kind of coined it all. And there is considerable disquiet, shall we say, that's probably too strong a word, but it's not straightforward. It's not accepted as, you know, there are challenges made with the stuff, but as you can probably gather. So I think I personally think it's quite difficult for us to be auto-ethnographers of this project. We need to be reflexive.
Yeah, okay. That's a different thing.
We do that all the time.
Yeah, but it needs to be captured.
It needs to be captured, but that if we're engaged in a session that is, you know, a lab session or something like that, would take place, yeah?
Well, yeah, you can see that in a lab session there is a clear space and time where you become the scientist and you're doing your bit, and this is your, of course, this is complete bollocks because
it doesn't work like that, you take your brain with you. But, okay, so this is the place and time where you're asked to do your job, and you're also asked, because you're working within this project, to be reflexive about what you're doing. In the social science remit, how is that going to work? Because we don't have this space and we don't have this
So the lab isn't the place you go and think about things, that's where you go and do stuff.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, they don't.
You don't think in the lab, you do. You concentrate on the doing. You've already probably got a plan, most of a plan, and then it's only after you, during the analysis of the results back at your desk, that you actually start to consider whether something, well, you probably think about whether things are going well, right or wrong during the lab. You might make a mistake and decide whether or not that mistake is something which you can live with or something which you can go on and accept, or whether you have to start from scratch. But it's only when you start to look at the results from the experiment that you consider or not, back to your original hypothesis, do the results match what I expected to see?
So we're going to have the same thing in the social science. Well, we are, it's going to be nearly easier once we are engaging in actual field work, when you can actually see, okay, this is social scientists that are actually doing something.
Hmm.
But we're already doing so much.
Massively,
it's just that this
yeah.
is all hidden away, because it's reading articles, doing literature
yeah,
searches.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is not documented. And so we get from a blank point, which was at the beginning of the grant, to all of a sudden, 3 months later, there's this person already full of ideas and literature reviews and hypotheses and methods.
Well, what you can do, I've never done this, is a full research diary where you document every bloody thing you read on a day.
Well, I do that anyway.
You
in terms of the reading notes, I always keep reading
yeah,
notes.
Yeah,
you
know, but the notes become... yeah, I do that. But
yeah.
not, it's not like... today I read this. It becomes,
yeah.
and I'll put a date on when
yeah.
I read it.
Yeah,
my
it.
Notes are there, but it's not formalised. That the notes are specific to the to that paper. They're not part of the
okay.
development of a project, right?
Yeah. Well,
but
we
you can move to a situation where each day is a diary entry
yeah.
of what has been read.
And what your immediate notes, thoughts are about it, etc. You have to have that conceptual development there as well. It is easy, because if you're already doing it anyway, it's just a question of copy and paste with from. So this is from your literature reading file, and this is from your field
yeah, yeah,
diary
yeah.
file, and
yeah,
you just compile it, and
files,
and you put it on the web, you put it on our shared website. But I think we need that, because otherwise we can't make a claim about
but then
followed...
they, these guys would have to do the same, and
yeah.
which is like it's like a humongous amount of work for everybody to do that.
That's what I'm thinking.
And some of it, of course, it assumes that all that is there is a project, whereas actually there's like decades of thought, but
yeah,
it's not captured
yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
in there. That is like, oh well, there's this and there's this and there's this and there's this and there's this. Like I've already mentioned Lynch, you know, it's like, well, that's not in a diary anyway.
So that's what I'm saying. So how do we meet our big project claim about following science in action unless we face these difficulties and find a way to resolve them in a practical manner and then to communicate them? Because if we're going to be serious about analysing our own material, we also have to make it readable to an external reader, the ethnographer that will come and talk to us about what we have produced. This becomes...
The ethnography.
Yeah. It's permanently like this. It's a huge problem.
But this is what the project is about. This is about how we interact, and we are not going to be able to capture those moments of interaction just by focusing on the meetings.
No.
There are catalysts.
Yeah, the meetings are they are more points where people come together. And then what happens is people go apart. From those meetings, and other things will be thought, and things will be said, and so on and so forth. And then that comes back. There's kind of like a recursive pattern to this.
The spiral of doom.
No, I don't. It's more like there's key nodes, these key moments, and then the tentacles go in different ways. And also the project's not bounded. It's not just.
We're not just doing that.
Doing lots of so there's other things that are coming into this.
Yeah.
And to expect each person to be able to work at that kind of level or to put that amount of time in is just,
it's unrealistic, isn't it?
So we need to find some kind of a middle ground where we can still capture stuff which is valuable and which will feed into articles in the future and about and our self-reflexivity about how we do this intellectual knowledge exchange. With clearly the meetings being the focus and being the clearest points of analysis, but we need something as well. And the lab diaries, I think, are the best way of going.
That's the best chance you've got, I think.
Mm.
And to be fair, the main emphasis had, you know, to do following science in action, I think that's the most important part of it. I think the following the whole trajectory of the social sciences through this is kind of subsidiary. It's not the main event. It's important, yes.
So we're making a difference between science and social science.
Well, I think the activities are different. I mean, you could put a web camera in our where we work and you just get absolutely nothing.
But you would get with them as well.
We get more or less nothing. If you were to sample equally, you'd get nothing.
Get at your desk. I mean, you're not capturing any thought, are you? How can you capture thought?
Mm.
You can't do that. The only way, I mean, classically how a social science captures the trajectory of that thought is to talk to somebody about the trajectory of it,
mm-hmm.
rather than us write it down.
Is it? I thought social science mainly communicated through writing.
Yeah, it does, but what I'm saying, to actually get hold of the stuff,
to get hold of the stuff, yeah.
You know, of it in motion, you would actually talk to people. I mean, yes, social science encodes it in a written article, and then it stabilizes forevermore.
In that case, do we organise bi-weekly 1-hour interviews with one another, where we just sit together and think, okay, so what have we learned from one another this week?
Well, I'm like thinking, like if we said Fridays or whatever, you come to Durham, we talk.
Yeah.
You're more immersed in it than I inevitably will be. But then there's points like we had that conversation where we started talking and it was like, well, actually, perhaps we should think about the city as the site.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly, well, that should have been bang, right, you know, okay. So we just sit down, we take the corner on and talk.
But I mean, but on the interface between social science and science, how do we play that?
Well, that's what that's this device does.
So that's the meetings. So, so we're back to the, it's about meetings.
Yeah.
And we forget the backlog of thinking and processing.
Well, maybe a key point of the meeting is that people have to articulate the backlog of what has been going on in their heads.
That's true.
Well, I find it a lot easier to write that down, like, you know, that kind of email also, and just intersperse thoughts into that. Now, that email probably then becomes part of the archaeology of the project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's about posing questions that then get responses rather than blogging away for the sheer hell of it, which I just don't kind of.
But if we're charging the scientists in this to do, I'm sorry, I'm drilling this, but I've been thinking about this a lot because of the sheer amount of work and the practicalities of meeting our objectives. Mm. So if we charge the scientists with this self-reflexivity, if only in the form of a lab diary, I think we should have the same thing going on the side of social science, because it becomes an imbalance. It's us asking questions about them, not them asking questions
about
us.
That's what we do, though.
But that's not what the project is supposed to be about, is it? It's supposed to also to give them opportunity to look into our
thought
processes.
More about that, I think. It's supposed to feed the...
But don't you think that actually those questions will start to become much more apparent to you once this work starts?
It has started and they aren't.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of like, then it's about articulating those questions to us.
Yeah,
so much like we ask you, you have to ask us is what I think has to go on here as well. Why this? Why that?
Yeah.
Like, we constantly go, why are you doing this? And
we haven't really, I don't think we've that's too many.
You don't ask. This happens all the time when we're working. I'm finding this, that the social science doesn't get asked any questions.
I think we've only asked questions of the project so far, not of each other. I think what we've done is to question the methodology, sometimes the motivation, and then at some points the kind of project plan. But we haven't questioned each other's mode of working, because I think we both come into this with an open mind thinking that we need to adapt to means of working anyway. So there's no point questioning our current means of working because we're adapting that to the project. If we question our past means of working, then we're actually questioning something that's happened in a different project which wasn't motivated in the same way, so it's pointless anyway. So I think, I don't think we should worry too much about it actually. I think we should work the way that we believe we ought to be working, record what we're doing, obviously be reflective about what we're doing and why we've decided to make certain decisions, but I wouldn't, I'm not so concerned about worrying about making the documents rigorous. That sounds bad, but I don't think rigor is necessarily the key here. I think the key is to chart the transition from open-minded researchers in different fields to a collective group of researchers with a common task.
In that case, I think the best solution would be to have an live, I don't know if it's in my head it's just like a stream of stream of consciousness, stream of data webpage on our main webpage that we share, which is where people can daily upload, and it, and this is dated, this is not just a storage facility, but this is a dated archive of this day I've read this, I think this is interesting for the project because three sentences, or I've been thinking about that, could somebody answer this question for me? Something like that, that could come from social scientists to scientists internally.
Yeah, I think these interactions have to be quite concise, because no one is going to read a couple of pages of text.
Yeah, concise.
It's got to be concise, and actually we've got to prize out the interesting questions, and that will help with our promoting the project, essentially. Mm-hmm. If we do pose interesting, important, timely questions through the project, and that is a kind of social and networking style tool.
Yeah, I just think but we need that space.
I totally agree that going to visit that site is not really that
No, we're not going to do it, are we? No. And actually, one of the things I would say too that we shouldn't get obsessed about is that no activity on something like that doesn't mean that no activity is happening. Sometimes things can just be rumbling.
No, you I know, understand
and
that.
And there's a sort of sense in which just posting stuff for the sake of it.
No, but I don't mean that. I just think that it's even if it turns out not to work, or not to be as used as you think it would be used. I think it's important to have that space where people can be impulsive. And because when you come into a meeting, it's a different setup. You have a prepared script. You have a number of issues that you potentially want to do.
Yeah.
Or if you're lower down in the hierarchy, you're just there to sit and listen and learn. And this is not an open forum in which you can just say stuff or ask about stuff or say, this is what I've done.
I would hope that our meetings actually were open and non-hierarchical.
Well, so would I, but...
I don't think they're going to be... I mean, I don't think this is... Meet on the chair, say what you think.
Actually, the problem is that the people that are completely 100% fully engaged with the project are actually in this room.
Yeah.
Because...
Where is Jose? This is
his
contract.
Well, no, it's, but he's still sitting with a question mark over what the hell is this project.
Yeah, but if he were here, then he would be figuring it out.
Yeah, possibly. I didn't want to invite him to this because I wanted to clear up where we're going. I don't think, as we always seem to find, that we're actually not on two different sheets at all.
My problem is I have too many other things I have to do. You know, I mean, it's just like...
Yeah.
The ones that at the same time have the biggest responsibility, but also the least time input.
Mm-hmm.
All us at the bottom here, we have a lot of time, comparatively. And we can, and because part of it is also about the training of the younger cadre.
I kind of figured,
multidisciplinary work. This is maybe the space.
Well,
view
on this is like, I mean, I have observed this now through three projects in working with scientists. And I never thought I'd sit here and say this, but actually we have the kind of social science I do, seem to have much stronger project management skills than seems to be what, because I'm seeing the firm's project, the extreme collaborations project that we did, there's basically is somebody over here doing this and somebody over here doing this, and will they meet up? You know.
Yeah.
Well, I think
I can explain why. No, but what is good practice and what has worked extremely well for me is to have monthly team project meetings, kind of like, which would be exactly held like this, completely open, you know, bloody yard art. They've been half a day in duration, plenty of tea and, you know, biscuits and that kind of thing to get everyone, the dummies, in other words. In Waste of the World, every project had to do a quarterly report on a standard structure, and basically that's the way you kept hold of the things, and everyone kept up to speed with what was going on. Obviously stuff's going on outside of those meetings, of course it is, but you basically have to formalise it, because otherwise you end up with having bilaterals or subgroup here having a conversation, somebody else, I mean, where's David? Not been cited since the interview, you know? You know, it's...
Well, I guess what we've got is a bit of a KOI exchange on that, but he hasn't got time. He just has not got time to engage.
But this is also, you have to make the time by creating the space in diaries. And it's very, I mean, I had the same problem with Waste of the World, was people who could have engaged rather more than they perhaps did, shall we say. But when you're running the project team like this with the PDRAs involved, you absolutely have to have regular meetings where everything that's up for discussion at the moment is discussed, but where we can also bring things like, well, this is emerging as quite a big issue. Let's kick this around a bit, see where it goes. I mean, today it's the film, you know? What are we wanting to achieve out of this film and blah, blah, blah. Mm. Down the line it might be, what are we trying to do in relation to this school's work? Do we really know? Let's push at that one. It might be a case of like, well, we've got this, you know, this stuff emerging from the lab book diaries. What do we think about this? So they become like provisional analysis meetings for us.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of how we're used to working, whereas lab stuff I've seen is just kind of like it's daily, drip, drip, drip. There's other stuff interfering with it. Somebody will do a bit of tinkering with this and then they'll go off and do something completely different, you know, but there's not this kind of sit down and discuss.
The thing is, nothing happens in a discussion when you're doing science.
Nothing happens in a discussion?
Not really. Well, it does, but only when it's about data.
Really?
Only when data is at the centre of the table. There's no point having a discussion if you don't have any data to talk about.
We have data at the centre of the table at the moment.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
It's just our data is concepts.
Yeah. Our data is much more concept driven. Well, we'll have what's observed.
Yeah,
but then that's in continual dialogue with the conceptual. And the,
well, we draw a graph.
You draw the graph.
Draw a graph.
Yeah?
It'd be like this.
And you'd discuss the graph.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so time... Okay, solar irradiance across the inch. Sun here in the summer. How do we make use of the irradiance best? Well, we need to get that bit of irradiance over there so that we've got constant irradiance over the whole year.
So the
conversation follows the sketch.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes from the knowledge, the result, the concept is a graphical one or an equation or a set of numbers. There isn't anything else.
So we would put on the table. We would put on the table data. We would put on the table issues. We would put on the table areas where we are completely not sure, things that aren't working, and can we make these work? Stuff that is very proto, you know, just I'm vaguely thinking about.
Yeah, idea development.
Push, yeah, yeah.
So on the one hand it's idea development, on the other hand it's... So one question is, what are we looking at? And the second question is, why are we looking at it? It's nearly like that, isn't it? And the why is constantly, what do you do? You kick the legs from under it and you fall over. And you
and then it moves on and it moves on. And that's like, it's that continual iteration is how we work.
No, I think that questioning happens, but in the context of a current...
But do you think that all social science works like this? Because you read a lot of stuff and the drive to stabilisation is extremely strong in it.
Mm. basically,
people then have a theory and look for proof.
Oh yeah, I mean, but that's 99% of the social sciences works like that, I think.
Yeah.
We don't work. I don't work like that.
So there is another thing here, as the same way that you're not scientists, the same way we're not social scientists. We're just
A very particular type of social scientist is what you've got, yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
I don't really think I can't state that I'm a traditional scientist. I've had exposure to research and development and industry and different science project, but I wouldn't state that I work as a traditional scientist. We need, the project's all about evolving to a point where the dialogue between these forms of research can gain from each other, and it's not there yet for sure.
Well, it'll evolve all the time
with the project.
Yeah, with the project. So it's
but it's that process of evolution we need to capture.
Absolutely.
So are we saying that in terms of the capturing, meetings and email archaeology is
yes.
fine?
And it's only ever going to be a sample. It can't be everything. Although it would be nice, the more comprehensive it is, the better it is. But it's to get too hung up on making it rigorous, such that we don't actually make the progression.
That's a mistake, isn't it?
But if we are having the video diaries in the labs, we're saying that's fine. This is where we produce our film, and social science doesn't produce film material.
I don't see why we can't do a video diary.
There will be stuff, though, that's filmed of the work with publics, will there not? All of that's filmed.
And I'm hoping that you would go to the lab with, and you can use that same environment maybe to talk. And then maybe we set up two video camera locations. One is in the lab, one is in an office on F floor.
The big brother room, one is in the confession room.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be. And then we just, that's what we do.
Because that was really my only concern, that if we're thinking about producing films out of it, they will be science films, but it won't be social science films. If we say that this is fine, this is fine. But if we don't have...
But I think we will be part of that because they will absolutely have that work with publics as part of them, which is us doing stuff, but it's not...
But then we become invisible. We just become the facilitators. It's all about the scientists.
Well, that's part of it. That's one of the big questions I have. Yeah, whether we are that or not. Just that.
So...
There's always been a big question, but we don't have an answer to that yet, and neither should we be able to do it.
But it may be that the label of social scientist and scientist has to be ignored for the time
being.
We're just
people
working
on
a project,
and
we think that the best way to work.
Sets.
Yeah, I think, and as someone who has dialogue and is part of the footage, then you'll have equal share of the results of the project. I think that if we start branding ourselves in either of the two camps, we're in trouble because we'll never merge the dialogue.
I think actually, if you think back to that studio session, if that had been filmed, it didn't matter who people were to what they said at that.
Mm.
And that's kind of what I think is really important, because many examples of this type of working end up with like factions of chemists and plant biologists, for example.
Yeah.
This, I don't think we should be hung up on our identities at all.
No.
I mean, I never have been. I've always been a not a proper whatever. So it kind of like,
yeah.
So are you.
Tell me about it.
Let's not worry about what we are.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll help.
It doesn't. I don't think it does. I think do a kind of research diary if it satisfies your anxieties about this, of what you've read and so on. We can see how important that kind of is. But I would always say that the attempt to capture data to the nth degree, what Al's called rigor, we'll never capture it. There's always stuff that will be excluded.
Mm, yeah, of course. Every framing.
You know, if we put a webcam in F floor office, you guys might go somewhere else to have another sort of conversation. This is like, you know, this is what will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, you don't need to catch... It kind of... The interesting thing for me is how it comes to the table, regardless. If people are willing to write down their queries, thoughts, and where they are, like I was kind of pushing... I mean, I didn't start that email intending to write an essay. It just wrote itself, in response to these kinds of comments. If everybody else participates like that, then I don't see there's a problem.
Yeah, I suppose it doesn't kind of matter even what you do in the backlog, as long as you don't bring it to the table.
Yeah.
Because then it's just you, and it's not a project. Unless other people... It's actually
there
a theory.
Is,
unless
yeah,
there
effects. Is an issue I've got of kind of who's in this project, because there are peripheral players... who are important, actually.
Yeah.
Now, Davey's not peripheral, actually, but he wouldn't engage in... Well, at the moment, he's not engaging in this kind of thing.
Right.
And we kind of need to make this work as a network, because at the moment, what our documentation will show is a whole bunch of people who didn't participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree that I, up till now... attempted to manage the network by managing individual relationships with the players, by essentially keeping each of the players on team a little bit, humouring to a certain extent the individual relationships, and that's the reason that there hasn't been a kind of common mail out on common issues, because I know full well that Dave's not only going to not respond to that, he'd actually rather just be left alone and brought in to when there's a conversation.
Well, perhaps the issue is to try to... I mean, I thought it was quite interesting how he responded at that studio.
He loved that,
because
he was
it.
The centre of attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would do things.
And he did
a chance to do stuff.
Yeah.
I need to confirm that, but I believe he will.
He's
not going to physically do any wiring. He needs to find someone who can do it in his group, right? He's not going to wire something up himself. So I need to facilitate him to commit someone to the project. And I think that'll be okay, but I need to manage that relationship with him. Right, you say David is not, I think, would like to engage with the project, but he's... Yeah, we can let's open it, but it's the sound that...
Bloody boiling in here. Well, unlike the chemistry department, which is like freeze box, this is like welcome to the world of heat. It's physics.
Yeah, it's
too hot. It's all
this is
going.
It's absolutely.
There you go.
Can I go through? Go back to this thing. I draw in a few schemes. Oh, no, not that one.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to show Beast and the Key.
Right.
The mind maps.
Oh,
I think they're brilliant.
So I don't write anything down at all.
Yeah, well, I'm a writer. You draw mind maps.
So I was thinking about what... And I found a tool to do it, so that's even better. I was thinking about the project and what... So I've got a few of these different things.
Right.
But in terms of actually a project plan, essentially a Gantt chart, I think there's actually... Oh, maybe it is helpful just to go back to the original. This is how I
kind of
view the structure of the project at the moment, right?
Yeah, we're in a hybrid forum, yes.
And I believe that might be a working academic title,
yes.
But I don't believe that's an external title, and actually an external title is quite an important thing to come up with at some point, especially if you get a website.
Mm.
And there are some kind of overriding, whether they're philosophical, social science, whatever questions they are, and there's a range of them, probably more than that number, that could be answered or commented against by what we do within this, and it's everything we do. And then from that, I think that there's a set of relatively traditional research that Jose's engaging with at the moment, firstly to get him up to speed with our laboratory, and secondly to provide tools and resources for the project in the future. And that's kind of what he's doing at the moment. He's just working away on stuff that is not within a hybrid forum. It's actually essentially working on his own. He's actually forming relationships with the other team members from David's research group, and we can draw on those resources as well. And then we've got this progression through Sheffield City Council to getting the home set up. So we've got to learn how to do that, and this sounds like there's quite a number
That's
of
quite
ways.
Nice, yeah.
All right. And then we kind of create this public and whatever, I went straight from Craig. No, I didn't even have that. What did I have? Engagement. I went straight to engagement. Yeah, and then. But anyway, and how we do that is...
Creating publics is where we basically got to enrol publics.
Enrol, not create.
Yep.
It doesn't... Aren't we creating them?
I think we create... They'll become a very different sense of public.
Yeah.
But we enrol...
So we change them one type to another. Publics.
They're an existing public, yeah.
So they're all in their own little groups, and then we make
they're not,
a new
they're
group.
Not kind of a, you know, a void, just assembled from nothingness.
Obviously.
Anyway, so this is what I think is happening at the moment. We've got this kind of traditional science. It's actually about making our devices more rugged so that they can last a bit longer outside. It's about being able to test them on people's homes, on their roofs. And it's about how we go about what we do when we test.
Can you make sure that because that rugged and durability stuff isn't in there at the moment?
The bubble. Oh, the motivation for doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's really really important.
I would
well, imagine down motivation. The line, because durability does matter, right?
Yeah. Well, there's actually quite a lot of dialogues about why. We've chosen these particular topics to go ahead and do.
Yeah, that kind of needs to be like.
But what I'd like to actually do is to bring those bits of research that he's doing at the moment back to a more open forum with the different parties. And,
yeah, because I'd like to understand that. Yeah,
exactly. But I don't think that's right for now. Anyway, when we've got those, we can take them and change the progression of these. Some of them might be finished by the time we create the public group, and some of them might not be. But anyway, that we can bring them in as the kind of starting points for modifying the science process. And then this is the architecture project, where really the key output from us is a nice model, hopefully, that can engage. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's interesting to do that. You call it research-led teaching, whatever it is, mixing it up with a bunch of different people from different disciplines, and get a feel for how that works internally. And then there's taking the kind of publics that we create and taking them back into this work here, and then obviously we can start to apply timelines.
This is the zone that kind of we wanted to move on, didn't we, when we talked. I mean, it really is quite important getting this assembled.
Which is, I think...
What's your timeline on this work here?
That's ongoing.
Ongoing.
About 20 years.
Yeah.
No, the thing that has a timeline on this remote tester, because that's actually been subcontracted to the spin-out company that Dave Stone owns.
Oh, right. So Dave Stone will make some stuff.
Well, he won't make it himself, but his guy will make that. It's just cheaper to do it that way. So that's, you'll get a prototype in the next 2 weeks for that thing. And then what Jose's doing in the lab and on the roof is to develop ways to test devices. Because when you get a little device, it's not the same as a solar panel. Yeah. So you've got to have a way to test it, which teaches you about how it's degrading, essentially, in one case, and how it might perform in a scaled-up version. So the testing protocols are quite important to roll into how you're going to test that in different places. And obviously, the longer the device lasts, the more likely it is someone might take it seriously.
Yeah. So, have we organised at all a meeting or field visit?
No, because we're basically waiting for the guy from the council to come back with us with contacts. So this has been put on hold since the meeting next week, because we're waiting for names and addresses and all the data that he promised to send us, basically, and then we can get the ball rolling.
Have you chased him at all on that? No. We'll chase him. We need to chase him pretty soon.
Because there will be quite a lot of delay working with
He won't be slack, but he'll definitely need chasing.
I think once we've got this data, we should meet with Matt as well, and actually discuss how we're going to utilize, especially with your experience with working in people on council estates, how we are going to utilize these entry points.
I'd quite like to see these locations before we actually, you know, make the choice.
Yeah, okay, so as soon as we get an address from him, we do a field day.
I mean, the easiest thing for me in all of this kind of complexity has been to have like a regular, it doesn't have to be the same day, but a monthly meeting that is project meeting. That'll ensure that I'm here. Right, because nothing else, you know.
Yeah.
the diary controls what I do.
So if it's in...
If it's in the diary, it's there. It happens. Otherwise, it's trying to constantly squeeze in amongst stuff that is already in there, you know?
How do you pronounce his name? Diarmuid? The guy from the council?
Oh, Dermot.
Dermot. Oh, obviously. Yeah. Dermot.
Dermot.
Dermot, yeah.
English pronunciation will be the death of me.
Dermot. He's Irish.
That's Irish, yeah. Dermot, like the god.
Right. Sorry, British pronunciation.
So, right. I mean, I don't know when... I mean, if you, like I said, I think the way to manage my involvement is if Anna comes like on a kind of once a week basis.
Yeah. Practical question, is there any way to bill this? Because it's going to be £5,000 a year if I see you every week for a year.
Yeah, just claim it.
Yeah.
Claim it through the Sheffield.
Well, they'll say, though, you're an employee of Durham.
No, they won't work.
Okay.
They won't mind, I don't think. Although they will need a pay rise. Ah, but we're about to set you up on a casual working contract.
I've got documents from
So that will allow you
to
have
expenses.
Your details to claim expenses.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you'll be okay, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so what... Yeah, I like... Well,
otherwise,
I'd
you can
like
book
to be
it
by
the departmental credit card and in the physics office. And that's the other way to claim it.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, I'm going to send you an email about this in terms of, is there like a seminar in Durham that I could go to on the same day to get involved with the community?
Tuesdays is usually basically I can make it become like it's basically
today.
Use the structures of my, I mean I'll look at my diary and just say okay right
that's tomorrow
that's
tomorrow week,
yeah. But kind of like what looks good for a project meeting but I think it's like I was how I ran project one and it worked It's the only way I could think to do it. Otherwise, you end up with just things not happening, which is how some of the other projects ran.
That's the thing I've been keen to avoid. That's
I know
why
you
I
have.
Kind of micromanaged it. And
but in the end, you have because otherwise, you end up with a project that's not met its objectives because people haven't bought into it.
Well,
or they're like you know over here and they haven't done stuff, or they're overcommitted. You know what?
The peripheral isn't on the critical path, and I'm quite aware of that. So it's getting the best value from the periphery as possible. There is, but redeploying resources that were allocated to the periphery to the core is the other, the other option.
Yeah.
It sounds like we have to...
Because I didn't think Matt would come along to these meetings.
Oh,
Do you know,
Which ones?
To the, you know, the monthly ones.
Oh,
Matt's
not
an issue. He's not an issue, no. It's Dave and...
It's Dave and Prue. Well, it's not even...
Prue's actually quite...
It's not Prue. It's actually the way the project structure... I think if we were to have rewritten the project again, there wouldn't be a periphery. There wouldn't be a core, but we'd actually lose out because of that. The contrast and value, as we go from the core, right, is the relationship between you and Jose. That's basically the core of the project.
Really?
Well, he's the scientist.
That's the day-to-day.
He's the scientist. You're the social... Well, you've not started working on it yet. That's the other issue.
It's true.
The problem. Well, one problem.
She's got a PhD to finish.
But that's the actually the core. That's where the project.
We've got
the sense
4 years,
of gravity of the
project
lies.
For God's sake,
it's not. Three and a half years.
That's plenty.
Which is what we've got in terms of. But that's where that's the core. The core of the project is the dialogue that you have with Jose.
Right.
Because
the
you're
ones are working 100% on it.
You're the ones that are doing the most work on the project.
Mm.
And he's in the lab trying to do stuff, and you're in the
lab
trying
to
do stuff.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're trying to figure out. But that's actually the core of the project in terms of the people.
Yeah.
And then myself and Nikki are next closest, and then we start to move out. Adam, Britta.
I mean, Britta's part of this, really.
But she's not a core resource.
No,
her project is just related to it.
Yeah.
Rihanna, and then we get to Daystone and Prue. Are actually quite a long way from the core. Sorry, Matt should be on that first
second
level of supervision.
Yeah.
But that's maybe the sort of picture.
Yes, okay.
So that may be, Because Yeah. Part of, I guess, trying to manage Dave and Prue's expectations so that they still have, can gain something personally from the project is actually really, really important.
You do find that people become what appears initially peripheral can become extremely central, and people will move.
Well, you can see that with Prue. If she can bring 10 students to the project and do something interesting,
Prue's commitment, I think, will become quite considerable as we move through.
And obviously, I'm paying Dave's company to do something, so he's still involved, even if it's not him. He's got a set of resources and engineering that are quite flexible that can be deployed on the project.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't met the PhD student that's supposed to be working and funded on the project, but. Again, I suspect his English isn't actually up to scratch to have any level of engagement, and that,
that's what I'm doing,
that's a problem.
Well, I would say, provided that the team that is like us two, Anna and Jose and Matt, meet monthly. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's micromanagement.
No, that'd be fine.
That's, you know, and that's the way...
Well, I think that's what I'd set up a bi-weekly meeting before Christmas, but obviously you weren't in a position to...
Bi-weekly is too much. Monthly will do fine.
And that can and
particularly
be
then Anna is coming up.
So you'll get a flow of information forwards and backwards as well.
But then also it's a means by which what I'm thinking can be fed back in.
Mm-hmm.
In between the
meetings. Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah?
I think that's really important.
I don't know if you have the energy for this now, but you asked me before where our head was in terms of a larger context for social science. Speaking of your mind graphs, if you want to explore
Let's go back to that. It's the big one. Not the big, small one. Yeah. Woohoo! There's a bit over here. There's a bit of science thing over here, right? Up, going up from that one, but there's a
massive
bit.
So basically this is how...
So you can actually press on one of these...
No, we can't yet. We can create one that is called that, where they've got these little... linky jobbies, you can go to the other one and then backwards and forwards, so that's kind of cool.
So we were talking the other day about, you know, how this project fits into what they want to achieve in terms of PV devices and PV science. In the same way, I was asking me, what do we want to achieve in terms of social science? What is the background stuff going on in our heads? How does this connect to themes? And
I think it's quite straightforward for me.
Well, I think there's a number of things.
There's a number of things, yeah.
So there are the methodologies of working with publics.
Yeah.
And especially working with hybrid, in hybrid situations when you have not just issues but artifacts, physical things that happen. And then the main theme, of course, is the work between social science and science.
Mm-hmm.
So this is moving on from social science, just studying science laboratories, to a more engaged kind of space. But then there are the minor discourses as well, one hopefully which will emerge from the working with actual people, which have to do with practice and habitation, as you were saying before. And I don't know, I think that's possibly the four areas or three areas.
Yeah, they're the main ones.
Yeah. But, you know, it may also become about ethnographic filming or an autobiography.
Yeah, I mean, it's open. No. That is the...
Yeah, I kind of figured that we could have rewritten the whole bloody thing about ethnographic filming. We'd have been in a good shape.
Yeah.
But I think these three things are the main... So it's about social science and natural science working together.
Yeah.
And knowledge.
In ways that are not where... I mean, as Anna said, the classic has been that we make an object of science.
Yeah.
And this is and there have been some major moves in that direction, away from that, which have been about participatory work. But I don't... Well, I have a number of criticisms of that kind of work.
I'm thinking of Rachel's stuff.
Yes, and also Stuart and Sarah's
project. I call it action at the science, social science interface.
Activity. Basically, the problem is we touched on this issue of facilitation earlier, and my conundrum is, or I think major conundrum is, to what extent social science merely facilitates the work of science. And my other big query of Sarah and Stuart's project is that whilst it troubles science a lot, it leaves social science intact.
Sorry, Sarah Whatmore and Stuart
Lane's project. On,
I had to look into it.
Our project.
It's a different.
Which one was that?
This is the flood, the flood Pickering flood work.
But
basically, they've written there's a piece Sarah's done in Economy and Society.
It made a whole heap of sense. I mean, but there was. I suppose would that local expert knowledge have been predicted by the scientists prior to the engagement?
They say no, but then what that leads to is to a sense that social science facilitates these groups, and that's kind of it. But there's a whole, and they've written zillions of articles on this project, many of them the same. shush. while the emphasis is very much on how this is about troubling the work of scientists and particularly modellers, what it just leaves totally tacit is that all social science just carries on doing the same old thing.
Well, again why I was so fixed on the autoethnography of social scientists, because I want this to show the troubling of social science as well.
But I think we don't have to autoethnograph. I think we can do that. I mean, we're doing it here, for goodness sake. You know, we just have to basically make sure somebody analyses this stuff. So for me, that's one of the kind of key questions. It's about doing interdisciplinary modes of working in ways that are mutually challenging. But what the heck are we going to produce? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We can't know.
Well, no, it's valid to say that because there's so many science labs working in the same way that to break one and reassemble it isn't such a bad idea, even if it doesn't really produce obvious outcome results.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's really, well, you've said this several times recently about challenging the ways of working in a laboratory, which are taken for granted. So on and so forth. Most of this work that's occurred in this participatory way, and I think this is where this is genuinely unique, well, I think it is, I haven't read anything about this, but is with effectively modellers and field research in science, or where you're dealing with rivers and kind of things like that. This is about physical science, which is conducted in a laboratory generally, and then there's a route that goes out to the world from that laboratory. That's what you're trying to challenge.
Okay.
Or at least say it might be possible to do this differently.
Our research into organic solar cells is motivated by a desire to make a low cost and more robust,
durable
solar cell. But when it comes down to it, that's not the motivation of the scientists doing the work in terms of their publications, because to say I've made a slightly better device isn't very high profile. So you're trying to weave into that real science. So making a better device could be called engineering. I'm not really sure that it really matters in terms of the practicality, what the distinction is, but the science might well be to do with some interesting new material system and the way that it happens to behave in the context of a solar cell. It's not about trying to make a better solar cell anymore. But what was funded was trying to make a better solar cell. So there is already a conflict, I think, within the way that science is supposed to be about a desire for understanding, but technology doesn't need necessarily understanding to be successful.
Yeah, it's just and that's the application.
What are we actually funding?
Are we funding a market? Are you saying?
Well, that's been one of my primary questions. You know, is this is what is attracting funding now? Is actually application, technology driven.
But you said that was always a case. We were talking about this the other day, and you pointed to the fluorescent lighting, and you told me that nobody actually knows how fluorescent lighting works. We just work with it. They don't know how it works, did you?
Well, you know, to a certain extent about... There's certain elements of it which are poorly understood. That's what the scientists would say.
Yeah.
and there is certain
materials it'll do.
There's a material system in
there. But this is not how we think about science.
No, that's what I say. I mean, this is why this kind of filming will would blow that myth away. Yeah?
Mm. I think that's a great story. Hopefully the filmmakers will see it the same way. Mm. So are we clear on what we want to talk about with Prue tomorrow? Not Prue, Fingy.
Ravi. Yeah, I need to quiz them on their web tool and really try and get them aligned with what we're seeing as a film. At the end of the day, it's not about anything that looks anything like a documentary. It's got to be a whole heap more interesting than that. And there's lots of different ways. I mean, we're not constraining them to how it becomes more interesting than that, and there's obviously got to be a story in there. But if we're not interested in producing a documentary.
I don't want to be standing in front of the device equivalent of a green roof and saying,
da da
da da da da da. No.
It would just be very, very boring.
Boring. Somebody would say, one spent this amount of million on this. Rubbish.
I think you might have to be quite clear with them, because they did forward me a link to one of the other films that they'd done in the university that they said was a little bit more in the direction of what you would want. And
Well, just be really fun. I mean, this has got to be exciting.
I say, I think they get it, but I don't think they've ever been tasked with making something
we're just approaching us as if we were the next.
Oh, you're just slightly different to those. Actually, no.
Totally
different. And
completely different.
The guy in Lancaster is totally on the case for that. He's the guy who's trying to redesign social networking tools to enact socially motivated change in.
Oh, right. These are the guys they might know. They might actually have better contact.
And they had one contact. He has one contact that sounds superb, but I've gone to start with through this group.
Well, don't be afraid to not give him the contact.
No, I will. I will do that. If it looks. I think he's probably in a quite good position to deliver us some training.
Filming. Sure, that's fine.
But I wouldn't go further than that until I was 100% confident that he could deliver an edited film that was what we wanted. Mm.
It's got to be really powerful.
Well, it needs to be engaging and watchable. And that's really quite hard to do, I suspect, with a film.
These guys work in a medium that they're comfortable with, happy with. Maybe he just likes working in documentary, straight film. You know, it's a guaranteed market.
That's just what he got paid to do. And in the meantime, in his spare time, he's shooting fascinating documentaries
Pigeons else. Or something.
Pigeons.
Mould. Spores.
I mean, some of the things he was talking about on the conference floor, it sounded like quite progressive. He was saying, you don't know what people might make of your material if you put it out for them to use. And
Is Matt along for the meeting tomorrow?
I haven't asked him, but we can do.
If you can, but if you know what the issues are, just take it step by step is all I'd say.
That's the key.
Get him to demonstrate some stuff, other stuff. His most wacky, wild end stuff might be good.
He's got a whole bunch of footage that was never cut.
Yeah, exactly. There. Rushes that he didn't use or stuff like that, because the brief was the University of Sheffield is fantastic. Don't ever say anything else. That is off the record.
It's on the record. It's published in bloody University Times Higher Education, isn't it? So it's official.
But what would you do differently if you were the marketing team? That's the question, isn't it?
I don't think universities should engage in branding exercises like this. We're very diverse. That's our beauty of the university.
How do students choose then?
You can do the undergraduate element. This place is research branded as well.
It's not a delusion that the research quality of the department makes a difference to the students' university choice. It's about
irrelevant.
The opposite.
It's like a hundred if you're into research, you don't branding want to be the teaching. University. That's the only. Well, it's the quality, the location of the halls of residence.
The quality of the student life in a place is really, really important.
And if you're not careful, you'll get hit by a bus coming out of Students' Union. Yay! No,
was the most recent story, wasn't it? Somebody getting a lung puncture. They had a drink in that started at 9 o'clock. I was just coming into the campus and there was a line of 50 people or 150 people outside.
Was that before Christmas? Yeah,
that was
with glass all over the floor.
But that's what they're here for.
Completely different. I've never seen anything like that.
A drink in at all bar one.
Yeah. And yeah, somebody got basically hit by a bus, punctured lung, and generally not a happy story. And there was a massive outcry. They were going to regulate drink prices at the union, but in the end it didn't happen.
No, because that's one of the major reasons why people come here. Low cost. Fantastic union facilities to be pissed 365, 247.
Off the record.
Off the record.
Right. Of quality of this,
it's now 2:50, folks. I've got to go back to the chemistry department. But is that okay? I think we've had to thrash it around quite a lot today. It's good.
Yeah, we need to get these monthly
schedule. I mean, I can have a look at my diary and say.
Is there a day which is better? I'd prefer to kind of try and
standardize. Yes, try and standardize it as the same date. It's unfortunate I've got some ridiculous teaching stuff. In practical, well, because of how the undergraduate timetable works, that some of it is Fridays at 9, and normally I've tried to say Fridays is the day, and it would have to be in Sheffield, the meeting, so, you know, like half a day, I suppose if it's, but it starts at 2, it's not that bad. I just need to check when these things, I think they're 9 till 11. But basically, I would go for...
Friday afternoons, 2 till 6.
Yeah, you can't do your 6.
I've got to
leave
at 4:30 otherwise.
Your kids. Or what I used to do with the Waste of the World one was to start at about 11, either 11 and run through till about 3, or start like at 12, 1 o'clock and finish at 4. Which if I can work out when I'm not doing these practical classes, then I can actually say, okay, we'll start them that week, you know, and then it'll be monthly.
Can you email me?
Yeah.
I think it's...
Have you, do you teach Fridays?
9 to 11, so that's not an issue. And then on Monday. Tuesdays is solar farm stuff. So Wednesdays or Friday afternoons?
Wednesdays or Friday, okay. It could be either, if as long as I get into the right pattern in my diary with committee meetings. Because once it's scheduled, it's scheduled.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Fridays are nice, aren't they? Because then you can kind of think about it all throughout the weekend, without other stuff interfering.
Mm-hmm. It's the least constricted part of the week, usually. Yeah. I don't have university meetings on Friday.
Well, I'm flexible.
Yeah, and you're very fortunately flexible, yeah. Yeah?
Yeah, Friday's
quite well. Studio time is Friday as well. For
sounded like, yeah.
For pros, so it's kind of like...
But you can't roll too many meetings into one, and that's... part of the problem.
No, it can't be like, I mean, I think this needs to be like what we've been doing today.
Yeah.
And Matt's diary will be pretty much the same, because Sheffield Geography, he might be teaching, usually the afternoon of Friday is not a problem.
Yeah.
It's not third year class. No, nothing's timetabled unless it's a practical.
And you obviously would invite Dave and Martin. And
they won't turn up, though.
But they
won't
turn up.
No. That's. I don't think. Yes.
Well, they might turn up.
They might. Well, yeah, that's for you to. I don't mind as long as it's us lot all meet.
And then
because you can see what happens when Dave's there.
Yeah, he dominates everything. And But when Britta comes back, I think she really, because she's got some great stuff about how these devices do or do not work, Dave would be really interested
in
this,
in the dialogue. When we're talking about dialogue about technology, so what has a social scientist learnt about the technology use, then that his dialogue is really, really useful and interesting. Yeah. But there's no point posing any higher level questions.
He's not going to work like that, is he?
So it may be that actually we can precede it with the kind of seminar part of it, that which is like a kind of presentation by somebody or other on something.
And I think it would be just great to get Britta to do a few, that, you know, the experience in Sri Lanka.
You said that Rhonda's got... Oh, shit, there is one more thing that I really need to talk about. So Margaret Mawir has been working on the solar farm.
That was it. Yeah, right. Get her to do that, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a risk. I had to move her off what she was currently doing because she wasn't really delivering what I'd expected her to be able to deliver in terms of sums.
Mm.
And I'm hoping she'll be much better at this, but I need to write quite tight project objectives so that if I want to...
It'll be mostly, she'll get a lot of grey literature on energy policy, which is fine. I think everyone needs to be aware of it.
Policy, market...
Yeah.
But you talked about maybe more about the home and the house.
Well, Rihanna could do a seminar.
But if she went and talked to Rihanna, do you think she'd learn from Rihanna best about what she's already done and then be able to shape the further discussion? Or is it a discussion she could have with Matt? Or
maybe with Rihanna and I?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Rihanna on her own would be a bit, probably.
I'm just not. She knows.
Not
she
sure about
know
it.
What she knows.
Well, if
yeah,
we
exactly, I know. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, shall I try and set up a meeting between yourself and Rihanna and Matt and myself and Margaret to sketch out a little bit more about what Margaret could do.
Yeah.
I want her to add value to the project, but I also want it to.
You could also get her to do a very thorough energy policy review in the UK context. That wouldn't help be a miss.
Well, I'm hoping that'll be a starting point.
Absolutely not a miss.
Because we really, when we go to talk to these public groups, we want to be able to bring that knowledge
to
the table.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to look
stupid. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to being with the council.
Yeah, they're going to want
going
to know
to
what they can get.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And if we're going to
start off, it's what are we going
to
get out?
So we need
to
know
council.
What Sheffield City Council
has
got actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And how Sheffield City Council reinterpreted policy. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be great.
If
she could do that.
Okay.
Right,
brilliant.
Just we'll go and do some phones.
Let's turn this off.
Do some.
Are you making phones?
No, I'm not making any phones. I'm staring at bloody plants growing or not growing, as the case might be, in phones.